Okay. So I was just trying. This is Voices from the Dark. This is Steve. I was trying to record through my basically welcome, as usual, to Voices from the Dark, the RBL Sundays collaboration that I've been doing for the last 9 weeks. This is the 9th episode. It's the last episode of the season. I figure I'll do something special, give you guys a little taste of what is to come next year, and also maybe talk to some of the people here at RBL Berlin to fill you guys in on what is going to happen in the future with RBL. So this is episode 28. I always mess that up. 28. A lot of numbers going on. Episode 28 of Voices from the Dark. Last episode of the RBL collaboration. And yeah, basically it's very quiet here on this Sunday. Today is November something, November 18th. Wow, just sailing through this month. Basically, it's getting very cold here. I'm not even going to be in this city for the rest of the winter, or at least for a nice chunk of it. Berlin is beautiful. I've talked a lot about this city, and my guests have talked a lot about this city on the episodes. Unfortunately, just like any northern city, it just gets too cold. So I'm pretty grateful to be leaving in December to go to the extreme south, or what we here above the equator would call the extreme south, to Argentina, to Patagonia. A lot of great things going on over there. I'm going to continue with my podcast down there. There's many artists in Buenos Aires, of course, but I won't actually be in Buenos Aires. I'm going to be even further south in a place that some of you might know and most of you probably don't. It's called Viedma, and it's the capital of the world. It's a beautiful place. It's a small town. Lots of interesting things going on. A lot of craft beer. There's lots of cultural things going on. I'm going to be interviewing a very good friend of mine, an artist. He has his own shop down there. And I might actually even be throwing out some podcasts on wine, since Argentina, at least in my experience, is known for their wine. It's a little off topic in terms of Voices from the Dark, but I think I can work it in somehow. It's a beautiful country, Argentina. I would say it's definitely in the books for me to live there again at some point, especially since the winters are much less severe as they are here in Berlin. Yeah, I don't want to say too many negative things about Berlin. It's a great spot, but yeah, it's getting cold out there, people. So I guess basically when I come back, I'm going to be, which will be in January. Could we get another mic? Or actually, could just use one of mine. Yeah. When I come back in January to Berlin, there's going to be a lot of stuff already happening with RBL. Of course, I'll be following it and, you know, trying to share as much info about what's going on here with RBL Berlin as possible. Also got some new shows coming up. I have one that's going to be mostly about writing with a friend of mine who lives in England, and it's going to be my first remote, basically my first remote podcast. It's going to require some new tools, new technology. I'm going to be using something called Zencaster to do these remote episodes. I've heard good things about it, Zencaster. Yeah. And the other way would be to do it on Skype, and I don't think that's... I've heard that there's a lot of problems doing remote podcasts over Skype, so I think Zencaster is probably going to be the best bet. I also will be trying to install myself in as many places as possible. As you know, we are coming from La Beto Lab right now, and I've been coming here every Sunday for 9 weeks. La Beto Lab is a great place, has a lot of great things going on besides the radio. Actually, I have here with me today the host of Scambetto, which you, if you're listening to the radio, that was him. If you were listening to the radio, Radio Banda Larga, then you were just listening to him. And I think he's an interesting character. He's got a great bar. But as I said, I'm going to try to be installing myself in other places. The Horse Bar is one of them. That's actually right around the corner from La Beto Lab. A little bit of competition, podcasting competition. And there's a lot of other places in Berlin that I think would be open to it. And I think that depending on the subject of each of the shows, it could be interesting to do it in different places. So speaking of subjects of different shows, I was talking to Manuelo, which I still don't know what his real name is because he has so many
Manuelo. Manuelo auf Deutsch.
Auf Deutsch.
Manuelo.
Okay. Is it? Is that Manuelo auf Deutsch? Okay.
In Italian is Manuelo. In English is Manuelo.
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 So it's not Emanuelo. Or Emanuele Manuelo.
At the archive, it's Emanuele.
Ah, okay.
That means God is with us.
God is with us or with the person who has the name?
No. God is with us. That's right. Why my mother gave me this name.
Ah, because she thought you were God.
No, because she needs maybe to be more sure about having gods around.
All right. That's interesting.
Yes. So and actually, if you are with Catholic people, they appreciate to have Emanuele. They give you the best piece of meat. Stuff like that.
Really? They give you the guy with the name Emanuele.
Emanuele. Oh. Right. What for a nice name.
And then you automatically get the biggest piece of everything or whatever. All right. So that is just a bit of like a little taste. And if you've been listening, if you have the ability to listen to the Italian show that he does, Scambetto, you'll know that it's pretty interesting stuff. I think I'm not even sure what it is. I'm not fluent in Italian. So, but we have been talking about doing a sort of collaboration. Maybe it'll be from La Beto Lab as well. Oh, there's somebody's coming in.
Hello?
Who's there?
Aha. Nice.
Oh.
Oh, at the end. Then the end, they come.
They didn't come. All right.
12. We ask for 13, but 12 is okay.
12 people.
I mean, 12 people. I 12. Mean, people. If you want to if you want to see them as people, okay. But, I mean, great.
Oh.
Okay, right. No, we come.
All right.
What so it is?
What is it?
What is Scambetto?
Scambetto is a kick in the leg. It's like a sweep, what you would say in English. It's
a
like
sweep.
When somebody sweeps your leg. It's basically knocks you down on your ass. Scambetto. And it comes from gamba.
Yeah, from legs. From gamba. Legs. Scamba.
Scamba. So it's not a nice thing to do to somebody.
It's no, it's in the middle.
It's
because it's funny. Normally, you don't want to make hurt a lot. You want just to disturb a bit.
Okay.
And normally, if you do a Scambetto, the people don't really fall down and hurt.
They
turn around to look who was.
Oh, who was that? Yeah.
And normally, it's something that you can say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't.
And you can pretend.
Yeah, yeah. You can also say, you can make a Scambetto in purpose, but then you can say, no, it's sorry. And the people, it's difficult to realize if it was in purpose or not.
Yeah, of course.
So it's a kind of small.
Like a joke. So
yeah,
like
it's a joke.
It's a trick and a trip.
Yeah.
So Scambetto is a trip, and in English that makes sense because your show is also a trip in terms of like mental trip,
a bit depends of my private life. It comes from there, the topics of the Sunday. So it depends of what I read, what I see in my ordinary life, and comes ideas, and then I speak about. Of course, the beginning, first 10, 12, 15 were like topics I already wanted to speak about and I care about, and then but they all comes from my private life, I have
and
to
you,
say.
And you have like a journal that I see you reading from every week. It's like a book that you write in.
Yes, like yes. I mean, mostly of the time I try to experiment and to prepare things. So in the philosophy of Scambetto, it's half prepared, half it's improvised.
Oh, okay.
Because I really like to leave a piece of time just to improvise and to put things that comes in my mind during the speech. And then it's musically also very dystopic. Maybe it's not the right word, but it's jumping from the dark, sometimes more easy techno.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it's a Berlin techno, so it's reflect the sky of the city and trash Italian romantic music that for me, I don't know why, since 10 years I like this combination of romantic techno.
So you do a lot of improvisation, so it's like 50 improv, 50
yeah, sometimes it's all improv because I don't have didn't have the time or the really a good idea to present, so okay. I improve. Sometimes I try to put new ideas inside. Sometimes it's very funny, sometimes it's very introspective. Depends really of how is my humor during the week.
Right.
And this is reflecting a lot in this. That's why I also like the radio, because it gives you the lot of freedom, and the RBL, I always appreciate the way they give us freedom to say and to do whatever we like. Of course, it was one of my first way of expressing myself theoretically with people who listen to me. I'm not sure how many people are listening this radio, how many people, but it's for open, no?
Yeah.
So it's I'm learning a lot how to present a concept, how to represent. Also, sometimes it's more theatralic.
Theatric, yeah.
Theatric.
It's like to make a story or show, a performance.
Basically. Yeah, sometimes I really like when this come. So when you have 1 hour of history about through language and music, and it's all well connected together. So when I listen to some of my old show, I really like it. Some other I really like, huh? And then I understood it was very, very important to do it, to learn how to do it. So because it's I'm attracted to many artistic things. I like to make music, I like to make I like all the visual art, picture, video art. I like to perform, like performing art.
Isn't there a show tonight? You're doing a show tonight, right? Here at Lab? No?
No, it was yesterday.
Yesterday
was a trio. Nothing special, actually. Yeah. It was a trio of improvising music. The double bass. Another guy with the...
keyboard?
No, with the iPad synthesizer.
Okay.
And I was with the sticks on drums and voice. But, for example, these improvising things, it's not so easy. Sometimes it's...
the musical improvisation.
Yes, yeah. For me it's always, I mean, when I realize I have no so much experience in it, so it's always about the mood I have. So when the mood is in a certain way, I realize then in the moment of crisis or in the moment of difficulties, I'm more open and more to express this stuff. So now I really realized when the people, the artists or actors, and they say it's an expression of ourselves, and I prove it on myself.
You prove it by your own performances.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what are you going to be up to? I mean, I'm going to be out of here in December. What are you going to be doing? You're going to be doing Scambetto for the whole December, or?
Yeah. I mean, this it's always there until Christmas, and then maybe we will have a bit small pause with the radio, and then I come back. It will be interesting because I will go in Italy and then I will have a new vision. Mm. Even if it's still in work in progress, I think
Scambetto?
Scambetto. It's still, even if I think I found a structure of the things, but still I'm thinking about new small idea to put inside, and because also the soul or the aim of this radio, it's you would like to be in between of comic and funny and serious and philosophy, somehow like the music. So some music is more introspective, what I put really this. And some is very light, so I will work on this to create an intense hour of this.
Of that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Music and philosophy, basically, and stories. I like that it's not based on much more than your own personal kind of views. You said it, you know, it's based on your personal how did you say it, your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
I like that that you make a show out of that. It's I mean, doing the kind of shows that I do, I'm usually talking to people, and people are, you know, or I should say people are talking to me. I'm just asking like very simple questions, but there are some shows that I do where it's about philosophy or politics, and it's difficult to just be, you know, sharing all of your thoughts and like recording them, and especially the live stuff. I find it to be in some way therapeutic, but also sort of, it's like scary. I mean, not scary like, you know, fear for your life, but, you know, sort of, I'm trying to think of the right word. It's not scared. It's not fear. It's apprehension, or it's like, being on stage, you know, and everybody's listening or watching, and you're basically bearing your soul, and to me that's very frightening in a way, but also therapeutic. Like, it helps me to get a handle on some topics, for example, in the mistaken ideas. I don't know if you know about this. I do with Evgeny. It's about fallacies, and we're like basically trying to understand these fallacies before we start recording, and then we just talk about them, try to explain them, because if you can explain something, then you probably have a good understanding of it, and if you can't, then you need to keep thinking about it, keep learning, keep reading more, trying to understand it. And I feel like doing a podcast like that is like opening your brain, or opening your heart, or your, you know, opening yourself to other people to see how you're thinking and to see how your mind works. It's almost like exhibitionism. Like, a lot of this radio and performance and theater, it's in some way, it's like exhibitionism. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's the good part of the egocentrism, no? Mm. It's to exhibit yourself, your inside, out through different language, or in a more, like, in a more practical way, because in the radio you maybe speak directly about themes, so it's not through music, it's not only through music, it's not only through theater or art, through other kind of language, it's more direct.
Yeah.
Or you can be in something in between, and that's also something actually I like more, is to try to use the language and and the way we explain things to express our thought.
Yeah, so it's more like a poetic way.
Maybe, yes.
Poetic language.
Maybe, yes. Mm. Because I also like to invent new words or to create this kind of small poem. And it's an exercise I do, just let my thought go.
Mm. Yeah, it's automatic writing or free writing, they call it. Yeah.
Trying to create a sound of language. So in Italian you have all this, the end of the word could be used to make the always the same sound.
Mm.
Like adjective or stuff like that.
Give us an example.
Could be.
I think I know what you're talking about, but it's not.
Could be like when I criticize the society, I can say comportamenti stabilmente andanti, ingabbianti, riproducenti gli stessi dementi perché. Incattivented. Some of these words are real, some are not real in a way of the base of the word is real and then the end of the word is changed to be similar to the other one. But the Italians can understand what does it mean. And for me it's nice because it's all like a cantilena, no? It's like a song for child.
Mm. Like a lullaby, yeah.
Mm.
I know what you mean. It's basically, in the end, it's rhyming, but it's also creating words so that they rhyme. It's like forcing words to rhyme.
Yeah. Again, yeah. Because it's a big thing. You should have a lot of knowledge about Italian or whatever language to make poetry, and I'm not in this case. Even if I read today nice things about dialect, and you know these things you find in internet. So who knows dialect? It's like he knows another language. So the brain, it's more elastic on knowing new language. So I'm a fan of Italian dialect, as mostly from Rome to the south. So I really love to speak Roman dialect. I love to speak Calabrese dialect. Some Sicilian, if I'm not good. Napoli, they have a beautiful dialect, and I think it's the future of you know, dialect. It's very fast. Yeah. You, in New York, you have also this slang that's because it's Rome. There is no dialect anymore. There is a slang, but it's very fast because it's connect a word to an imaginario.
Mm. And like a dream an imaginario is obviously it's an imaginary scene.
Yeah.
But is it anything more specific? Is it, it's just an imaginario is just like a made up thing, right? A made up scene.
Yeah. But it's more fast in the way if, for example, one of the things I like it when in Roman day we said ignorante. To a pair of shoes, ignorant.
Okay.
When they are very tough and strong and not destroyable, you say that's very ignorante.
Hmm.
And I like it, for example, this kind of connection that normally ignorance should not be a pair of shoes, but you get the point very fast.
Really?
For me, yes.
Ignoranti. So if you call the shoes ignoranti, that means it's a good.
I bought a very ignorant shoes. It's not good shoes. It's not destroyable. It's very, very strong.
Ah, but they might not be beautiful.
They are not. Maybe they are not beautiful at all. But they are very strong.
All right.
So it's this kind of things I like of dialect. The way,
but this happens in all languages, though, right? It's not just the dialects of it, Italian. I mean, Italian also.
No,
has
I think
metaphor.
It's more in the language, more in the dialect, because the I don't know other I don't know really the other languages so well to maybe you can tell me if in English, in American English, there is this way of expressing. But in Italian, I don't find the same, because Italian is a young language. Could be.
Well, I guess the beginning of Italian was around 1600 something with Dante Alighieri, and so before. You know what language was the official language of Italy before Italian? There was. Oh yeah, there was.
It's what?
Sicilian.
Because
I love to tell this to people, because people think of Sicilian as a dialect, and in some sense it is, but honestly it's a language that's older than Italian.
The older people speak like
that's just in the movies. You're talking about like The Godfather, basically, which I've only ever seen half of that movie anyways. Yeah. Mario Puzo.
Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for example, Sicilian is beautiful. They have this beautiful word. I don't know a lot of Sicilian. I don't know more like Napoli. They have beautiful word to express things. Like the elevator. It's called the wall tram.
Wall tram.
Tram Amour.
Right.
So it's a tram bus on the wall.
Oh.
Or a picture is called tale quale. Oppure the mirror is called tale quale. So
the
tale
mirror.
Quale is same.
Oh.
So if
tale
you
quale.
You have a tale quale, so you have a same. In like I don't know if it's the translation same could be. So it's something that reproduce yourself.
Yeah.
And but they don't call it mirror, they call it tale quale. Fammi una tale quale. Do a same for me. It's make me a picture.
I forget how to say mirror in Italian. I don't remember how to say
specchio.
Yeah. All right. It's like almost like German. Spiegel.
Genau.
So tale quale.
But for me, it's the way the words open the imaginario.
In your mind, your
in my mind, because when somebody from Napoli told me "Utram Amour," for me I see this, and it's funny, and it's a
humorous image.
Also fantasy, you know. Yeah. It's a very fantastic way of expressing things.
It's almost like surreal.
Kind of surreal, you know.
The tram going up the wall.
Yeah.
Like
so
a tram that goes on the street, but it's on the wall.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So I imagine this, because we imagine animals, not human. Mm. So the world can open a lot of new imagination,
yeah.
And that's why it's important how we use them. Because through them we can really open new vision, and it's not only something theoretical; it's something practical.
Yeah, because it really works in your everyday life. So
yeah, that's why I think the street language and dialect or slangs are more connected to the real life, because they are used. In a more authentic way. So the Roman slang, it's clear that's made in Rome and grow up in Rome and grow, always growing and developing through the generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the language changes, and I think that what you're talking about is like the difference between a standard language, which is like in a dictionary or in a book, and they say, this is how you're supposed to speak and how you're supposed to write. But that's in a book, and the book doesn't change unless you change the book, you know, and then reprint it, make another version. Whereas every day, the slang is changing because the people make a change, and they have nobody to tell them that it's wrong. Nobody to tell them that they shouldn't speak this way or that they have to use a different word. So in some sense, yeah, the language that we have in books is dead.
Yeah, it's always dead.
It's always dead.
When they wrote it, it's already dead. Maybe it's just
it's to, almost
to,
like
to
a
proof.
Book is, a book is a graveyard of words.
Yeah. It's true, it's true. Sometimes it's let us know how old was the language, old words, no?
Oh, for example. Of course, yeah. It's like history, obviously. Yeah. It's good to, like Shakespeare, we know, you know, how they used to write and how they used to speak. And it's like a sort of, yeah, a record. Even, I mean, it's art, but it's also a record. In some way, that's not dead, but yeah, nobody speaks that way anymore.
Yeah,
slang is more, yeah, it's now, it's present.
Yeah, even if sometimes it's very poor, for example.
You mean like in a poor city or a poor neighborhood? Or
no, maybe sometimes it's connected, no, to, but it's what I can see now in our generation, the language is very poor, no? So it's a bit like people know always less and less word.
And what
we read, it's much more simple. Mm. The way the people speak on media, it's very, very simple. And sometimes that was maybe 50 years ago, television was teaching people how to new words. And now it's not more like that somehow, and it's also, I mean, it's also okay. But I read something about how many words people used to know in Italy in the 50s. They were like 60,000, and now the media of the words that people know is 15,000. Now I don't remember, but it was much more less. And this was related. It's related to our way of thinking, of course. So if we don't know enough word, we cannot think anymore.
Yeah, I think there's
enough.
Yeah.
You know, there is a connection.
Yeah, there is a connection. I don't know if it means that the more words you know, the more intelligent you are. But for sure, the more words you know, the more tools you have. You can express yourself in different ways, and
also.
And also, like, kind of analyze things in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah, and connected to the discussion of before, you could open different imagine, much more imagine than if you don't know enough word or don't know many words. Let's say, even if my young life was totally different, my relation to the language. I didn't give so much importance. Then it grows, and then I made actually one of the show of the radio about language, because I read about an anarchist from Russia, Bakunin, very very interesting anarchist. He say that there is no revolution without a language revolution. So there will be a revolutionary
language. Yeah. A language of the revolution.
We have to make a revolution in our language to let it possible to have a real revolution, like a social revolution, a political revolution.
Okay.
Without a language revolution, this cannot happen.
And who is this guy?
Bakunin.
Bakunin, Russian anarchist.
Russian anarchist. He wrote different books, very interesting and also simple somehow. He introduced me. I have a philosopher friends in Rome, and he always introduced me to nice, interesting writers or political or philosopher or whatever, and Diego, the name of the philosopher, and he's
He's listening right now, isn't he?
Maybe, I don't know. Today I didn't wrote anybody about to remind, oh, we are on show. No, but he studied philosophical language or language in philosophy or whatever. So it's an expert somehow. Yeah. An expert. And he introduced me to language. And he make me like really appreciate the way. Because, but I'm still in between.
In between what, languages?
Yes. Sometimes a very rough Roman slangy. That's my way to put out stress.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there is also the way I like to explain or express our other.
So
things.
You're from Rome. Basically.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
You're born and raised there.
I'm born in Rome, and yeah, so I have this, let's say, three part of the years I was in Rome. One part was in Calabria, in the very south, because all my family is from Calabria, and I don't know, but I think since always, generation to generation, they were all Calabrian people. So I have these big roots in Calabria that calls me always.
So you always go there every year?
Yeah.
And do you speak Calabrese? Or
I speak Calabrese. And I'm very proud of it.
Very proud.
Yeah, because my mother and my father, they used to speak Calabrese at home.
Ah, you say Calabrese?
Ka.
Yeah, but you say Calabrese. You said it like that. With
Calabrese.
A G. Calabrese. It sounds like a G sound.
This is la mia
my restaurant. Do you remember the restaurant I told you about over here in Neukölln?
Piccola Calabria, no.
Gazzo.
Ristorante Gazzo.
The first thing I thought was like, why would you name your restaurant Gazzo?
They were not Italian, for sure.
I have no idea. I don't know.
If they were Italian, they will not make this mistake.
I mean, in New York, like the New York Italians will say Gazzo for cazzo, for dick, you know. For the people who don't know that mean what it means penis, but not in a nice way. Not as friendly of a word as penis. Yeah, gazzo. But all right. So what's going on at Labetto Lab in the next month or two? Maybe people don't know, but Scambetto Emanuele is, you know, not only sort of God or whatever. He's also the.
It's not bringing God with you only. Imagine.
He's also the proprietor of Labetto Lab. We can talk a little bit about what the hell that means, first of all, before you tell us what's going on.
What does it mean?
Labetto Lab.
Betola.
You told me what it means.
Betola. Betola. It's a way we express junk.
But
junkie.
it has to be a restaurant?
Not only, it could be also just wine, bread, okay. And salami, some for example. Okay. It's always small, dirty, with a family style. Yeah. Normally there is the old guy with the wife cooking in an open kitchen, but it's really like you are in a kitchen of somebody at home. And or sometimes it's more like a restaurant, but it's always a bit it's very cheap and dirty, or just a family style, like no bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
I give you lasagne well made, and don't break my balls with bullshit and stuff like that. And I give you house wine.
Don't ask for.
We have one red and one white and water and maybe Peroni, you know. But don't
you get what you get what you get. Yeah.
Yeah, but I really love, because it's in all Italy there is always in a small town there is always. There's always a place that could be a betola. Nobody calls his place a betola. Now it's more famous. With Alessandra, my wife, we were traveling and looking for betole always.
Okay.
And sometimes now you can find a place called betola.
Really? All right. Like Labetto Lab. So how did you? So you just threw a B on the end of it, and you squished everything together, basically.
Yeah, I
so
wrote it.
La Bettola
just because of the sound. Because the article of is feminine, so yeah. Lab et lab. The B at the end, it's for laboratory, because it's a small laboratory of arts, experimental arts.
Yeah.
So it's the subtitle. It's experimental place because
it's mental.
It's a bit mental in the way of illness.
Yeah,
and it's an attraction for all the hill people of the of the neighborhood. That's actually I'm really an attraction. I love. Strange people, let's say, and I think they are much more interesting in the way they express themselves in a free way. So it's not that I do go out and ask for. I go to collect the crazy people of the neighborhood. They just come, and maybe they go everywhere. My thing is they go everywhere. Somewhere they can come in and have an interesting conversation. Somewhere else they just. Don't be understand.
Nobody understands what they're doing.
So it's I am really attracted to this kind of people, because they open me a new windows to new worlds. That's what I like of relations
with crazy people.
Yes, with people the normally the society say that are half crazy or crazy. For example, in Italy, every small town has a crazy guy.
Oh yeah.
And then I go to find him.
The village idiot. That's what
the village it. Idiot. Yeah. Normally, they have a lot of nice things to share. And I realize.
So you're trying to get all the village idiots to come here.
I would love. Right. I would love to bring all these crazy people to South Italy with a bus. It's one of our dream
to make a
Betolab on the road with a Mercedes bus, red. Put all the crazy people inside and go to make a kind of gate trip to Italy.
You can record the whole thing.
Video will be really a beautiful. We will try to find. Funding.
Yeah. You should do Kickstarter or something.
Yeah. We will write a nice project about it and bring people in Italy, because I think we need down there. We need a new vision somehow.
So
and
you
these
bring
people are
the Berlin crazies down to Calabria.
Yeah,
and
yeah, because I think somehow some people are. Able to express themselves in a more free way because of the charge here. Come si dice il giudizio?
Judgment.
Because of the judgment, there is less judgment here, and the people, so they don't feel like looked.
That's true.
So they just do what comes. They're not so conform, but I speak about my Beate, Ninja, and all the names.
You have ninjas here?
We have the white ninja. Normally you should come. It's a guest sometimes on my radio show.
Really?
Because
Gambetto?
Yeah, he's the white ninja.
Is he an old man?
It's an old, bold.
He comes in
bold.
With a suit every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, with a suit with the American flags. It's a performer.
Really?
His American flag here, it's a performance.
Oh,
you want to see how the people react to it.
Huh.
It's not because it's a filo americano.
German or Italian or both? Or?
He speaks German and English.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand so much Germans. I cannot appreciate.
Really?
Cannot appreciate, because he has a beautiful way of speaking in German.
Right.
But I'm not able to take it all.
I saw your sign outside, live on a stage. That's a good
joke.
Yeah,
I mean
that's
if you want to speak.
You're referencing many things there. You're referencing English, Italian, and German. Ona is without, right?
Yeah.
On in English is on, like on stage. And then if you say on stage with an Italian accent, it's on a stage. So like on
that,
a stage.
You put it there. For me, it's
just
it's a mix of language. Sometimes it's easier for me to write a word in German.
Oh, really? But yeah. Then why did you say live on a stage?
Because there is no stage here anymore. There was a stage before.
But you must have known that the word on and ona are like has the first two letters, it's the same. So you must have been making this joke, right? Live on a stage.
No, it comes from that alone. I put two windows outside. The first window was, I wrote, please don't disturb the sleeping people, because I don't know how to write neighbors, you know. So I wrote, don't disturb the sleeping people. After 2 weeks, he had this. I watched a movie and saw it. Time and I wrote, time doesn't exist. Do what you want whenever you like, and I put it together. And somebody.
It's very straightforward. It's not really a joke. That one.
No. It's not a joke, but they were put together in the same part. Sometimes somebody comes inside and told me, it's a bit strange because you say don't disturb the neighbors after 22, but then at the same time you say do what you want whenever you want because the time doesn't exist. So it's like I didn't get somebody.
Somebody told you.
Told me.
Hmm. All right, so it wasn't intentional.
No. So sometimes it's not intentional. It's come from this spontaneity that I really try to leave it open always. And for example, also here in Bettola, that the real deep concept is to express through a different kind of language, artisting language, our creativity, but our more authentic or natural or spontaneous, because it's a small place, it's a small stage, it's maybe maximum 40 people that can watch to you, normally it's 15-20. So I say to the artists, if you have an idea you want to try out since always, so if you have something you want to see how the people react, That's the space. Mm. That's not the space for, in my point of view, it's not the space to do things you know that works. Mm. Because the things you know that works, you can do it in a big stage or
anywhere.
Here it's small and the people are not pretending because it's very my style. It's not professional, things works, but you know, I try to keep it very, very soft. Even if for me it's important that the people feel good and they have their own space and they can express themselves with the calm and serious. But in the same time, I never took things so serious because it's my way. Mm-hmm. It's my way to fly from above and see things, and it's more like, okay, yeah.
Okay. So what, I know I already asked, but we never got to it, but what's coming up in La Betto Lab? Are you going to continue doing RBL Berlin from here, or?
Yes, I think radio stays here.
Okay. The Sundays for sure. Okay.
Sunday, yeah. And I mean, I send normally a mail to my mailing list to let the people know what's going on. I use sometimes Facebook, but only for some things because it's controlled from many stuff. Many people want to know. Normally we have many different things from concert, experimental concert, dance performance, small exhibition, whatever the people propose me, we try to see if they fit or not.
Okay.
It's a space for the very beginners, but we had a lot of things because people like the atmosphere here. It's all about atmosphere for me.
Mm.
So it's chaotic, like my mind, how you can see.
Yeah, if you've never been to Labetto Lab, I mean it's very eclectic. So there's not one particular style going on, except I guess the style of God, Emanuele, yes. The one who brings God to us. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the bar right now, and there's got to be like, I don't know, 100 different things going on right now. Some kind of chandelier, snakes. Is that a snake?
Yeah, it's a very old snake. With me since 8 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How long has Labetto Lab been here? 5 years?
Four years. Four years. Yeah.
5th and 6th of October, Beto birthday. Oops.
Yeah, it's nothing very important, but it's kind of the object are part of the story of of this space, and when the people realize they could bring me things, mostly of the things I found it in the street, and I try to, come si dice, convert, deconstruct.
Use it for something new.
Yeah. And then the people realize, some neighbors or some people from the street realize I put their things around if they bring it to me. They were happy.
They bring it to you?
Yeah, bring to me. Okay. Sometimes they bring it to me, sometimes people steal it, sometimes people ask me, can I borrow for 1 week and then never come back? And I really work on myself in these things, because I say if I found stuff, I it's right that I also lose stuff.
Okay.
Before I was a bit sad when I say, ah cazzo, they steal the gold man, ah cazzo, they steal the things, this, no? But then I realize that's the ciclo of life.
Circle of life.
I mean, if I found things, I should also be able to lose things. And if people give me stuff like presents, I should be able to give also to people stuff. So it's a moving, and it's
sounds like Buddhism.
Somehow it was also a kind of way of.
Oh no! Wait, what's the one with karma? That's not Buddhism, is it? That's Buddhism. Karma is Hinduism. Hinduism. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
actually, also. Yeah. Yeah, it was also for me a way to be able to be in the same space, but with different visions, because it's a philosophy of life for me. We can always change the point of view, even if we stay in the same place. Even if we have always the same people around, we can always find a way to see another point of view, or see another angle, another corner of a city, of a place, a space,
yes,
or a
like
person.
A hidden space or a hidden image in a city. It's like you find new ways of looking at things. We've talked about this before, you and I, the different perspectives.
Yeah.
Right? And that's one of the reasons I got you onto this episode. Your voice is obviously very good, but we talked about perspectives, we talked about talking, about conversations, and this is my last episode with RBL Berlin for 2018, so I feel like this is sort of a possible preview of what you and I can do together in like a more programmed way.
Yeah, yeah.
So like Scambetto is 50-50, 50 planned, 50 improvised. Maybe we can do something like that. This is sort of like we can talk about it right now, like for the people. So this is the way you come up with a podcast, or the way you come up with anything, I think. Is this by...
Yeah, that's actually, I really like it, because I think we have from our private life totally... far away structure, let's say, even if I like your way of thinking and your way of speaking also. So I think it will be very interesting to see how can teams be seen from different perspective, the same And it's actually also an Italian American
yeah.
Bridge that's always fascinate me. Since the first time I've been in New York, I really was fascinated because I thought it was like American blah blah, but I found out a lot of beautiful people, and it was nothing like what I thought.
Yeah, your imagination was completely different than what you saw.
Yeah,
and I think, how much time do we have left?
We have 3 minutes.
3 minutes? Holy shit. That went fast.
Man, yeah.
I thought we were, we had more time than that. But I think that, you and I can definitely be like a good contrast to each other. You're Italian from Rome. I'm sort of Italian from New York, and you speak Italian and English, and I speak English and Spanish and a little bit of Italian and German. We're in Berlin. I think Berlin is, like you said, it's like got a lot of crazies, and we can maybe get these crazies onto the show.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think
do it
it's
in English. Do it in I would say in any language, whatever language we need.
Yeah, I think it could be interesting to mix different kind of way language, but also Stimmungen, no?
Stimmungen.
Moods.
Moods. Waves. No. What is Stimmungen?
Moods.
That's German.
No?
Moods. I don't know. Oh, like.
Stimmung.
Yeah. Stimmung. Yeah. Yeah.
Moods,
so,
no?
Oh, atmosphere.
Atmosphere. Yeah.
Atmosphere. Yeah. Yeah. Stimmung. Yeah. Like a gute Arbeitsstimmung.
Yeah, genau. genau.
Alrighty.
And we will have always a Tricheco with us.
What's that?
Tricheco, it's a kind of lion, sea lion, but the one with the big zahne. Fans. Yeah. We will have always a fans with us.
What is it called? The fangs, yeah, but what is this? Oh, a walrus.
Tricheco.
Is that how they sound? Or is that how I sound?
Yeah, I had one. I always speak with Tricheco.
Really?
Yeah, in the office in Germany, yeah.
You should see the movie called Tusk.
Ah, yeah? Yeah, it's about Tricheco?
It's about a walrus, yeah.
What's a walrus?
The
Walrus?
Walrus.
Walrus. It's too difficult. Walrus.
You can say Arbeitsstimmung, but you can't say walrus.
Walrus.
All right, I guess we should throw it over to 2 Feet in a Show, which is coming up right now.
Yeah.
I think I just want to say it's been great here at RBL doing these English Language Sundays. It's been 9 episodes. This is episode 28. And, yeah, it's been a great, great journey. La Beto Lab is an amazing place. Everybody who's listening, whether you're in Italy or in Berlin, you should be coming down here.
Yeah, come to visit, because our life will be not so long, I tell you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Like the rose, we will live not so long.
Oh, no. I don't want to hear about that right now.
Yeah, don't worry.
But look forward to some kind of collaboration between Manuelo and myself. And, yeah, keep enjoying these English language radio shows on Sundays at RBL. I'll be back in January doing something.
Yeah, so always welcome to come to visit us on Sunday. We have a very chill mood, cafe and
beer.
Cakes, beers, the wine.
And pasta.
And pasta. Apparently. Now we have Anelletti Siciliani. I will let you try some. And also Giulia, it's hungry, I know.
Alrighty. Peace out, yo.
Ciao.
Thanks.